You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast. Now we're giving you the best news, insight, and coverage of all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys here once again. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL. I also do some work for the fan side of networks, predominantlyorange.com, your daily Broncos content site over there, as well as getting daily content here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. You guys can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. I'm going to be joined here in a little bit by my co-host Cameron Parker, who's also a columnist for predominantlyorange.com. You guys can shoot him a follow on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO. Today's episode of the show, big one. We're going to start things off here with segment number one. We're going to get into our Broncos thought of the day. And the question was presented to Broncos country: if they had the choice, if they were on the clock at 10, and Devin White and Drew Lock were available, who would Broncos country select? That's what we talk about. Break that down in segment number one. Segments two and segment three, we're going to get into our Broncos daily rundown as well as the NFL daily rundown. Some players around the National Football League, they were announced as being franchise tagged or not being selected to be franchise tagged by their organization. What does that mean for the free agent market, which starts next week? And also some rumblings around the NFL. Could Antonio Brown be a possible candidate to Denver? I don't know. We talk about that in segments two and three of today's episode of the show. Let's get rocking and rolling. In our Broncos thought of the day over there on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, the question was, the Denver Broncos are on the clock at pick number 10, and both Devin White and Drew Lock are available. Who are you selecting? I'll share who I selected and why, but Broncos country, this one thing was popular. We had over 50 plus responses in a matter of an hour over there on Twitter, and there's a big, big consensus. I mean, there's obviously some different varying factors, but a majority of Broncos country, they tweeted out Devin White. So let's hear a little bit here. We're going to hear from YRN underscore Voths. He says Devin White at 10, Stidham in the second round. That's not too bad of a pick. I think Devin White is such a prolific player, especially being a versatile inside linebacker. He's the ability to cover sideline to sideline, the ability to cover tight ends. Look, the point I'm trying to make, you've been looking for a guy like that for quite some time. The Broncos haven't had a guy to do that. I would say going all the way back to that, Danny Trevathan was a great example of that, but more so, let's go back to DJ Williams. Let's go back to Al Wilson, for example. The Broncos have lacked that prolific game changer at inside linebacker. Devin White, in my opinion, is that type of prolific player. And I think with Jared Stidham, I think he could be there out of Auburn. I think he could be there in the third round. The Broncos still have options there. And I'll get into a little bit more about the quarterback spill here coming up in just a moment. But Northern underscore Bronco, Devin White, Tim Wins, my man. He says, how about this one? Ed Oliver and White are both there. Who you got? You kind of turned that around on me, Tim. In that situation, I would pick Devin White. And we got to take a look to see maybe how free agency affects the Broncos draft plans. We'll get to that a little bit in segment two and three of tonight's show. Casey Grossnickel, Devin White. Nice gif there. The Superman. I like that. Derek Johnson says, then you get Tyree Jackson in the second or third round, a project strong arm quarterback with a great deep ball that can learn from Flacco for not too much draft capital. Definitely defense in the first round, though. We need some instant starters in the secondary. And this is a good point, Derek. Tyree Jackson's not that bad of a quarterback prospect. I think he can develop and be a nice addition. A lot of people are trying to compare him to Cam Newton, and I think it's just a false comparison. Tyree Jackson, I thought, did a lot of amazing things at Buffalo. I thought he really did. He's athletic. I think he does have the ability to stand in the pocket. There's some things he's got to polish up, though, but every quarterback prospect in this year's draft has to do that. I think I have some concerns with Tyree Jackson and consistency in terms of accuracy on short to intermediate routes, but those are things you can work on. Drew Lock, we talk about footwork. Bronco Pete 21 says, go with Devin White. Bob Rose says, got to go Devin White. Brian B, BB of LA, says D-Dub, Devin White. Luke Noble says, draft Drew Lock. Jordan Aubrey, Drew Lock. My man Ryan Edwards, great friend of the show, responds with Devin White. And I think that right now, for the Broncos, and I'll kind of clear this up now before we dive into segments two coming up here in a little bit, but I think the biggest thing for the Broncos, and listen to me closely, the Broncos have a quarterback right now for 2019. Absolutely. Joe Flacco is the guy. The Broncos are very, very intrigued by what Joe Flacco can offer, and they want to see what he still has left in the tank. John Elway has expressed he wants Case Keenum back. He wants him back to restructure his deal and make him a backup quarterback, which Case Keenum is a backup quarterback. He's a pretty good backup quarterback for that. Does that solve the Broncos quarterback issue long term, especially when the Kansas City Chiefs have their quarterback for the next 10, 15 years? No, that doesn't solve that at all. But a lot of that, John Elway's mention of wanting to keep Case Keenum this year, that tells me strongly that I don't think he's completely sold on this quarterback class. And here's my thing. Drew Lock, I think he does have great arm talent. I think he has great moxie. I think he's got some swagger to him that I think would energize the Broncos. Don't get me wrong on that. My only issue is, if you have a question, and we almost look at this as a jury, if you have any question beyond a shadow or a reasonable doubt, you can't take Drew Lock. And I know that might be an unpopular opinion for a lot of people, but you know, hear me from this angle. If you're not sure that this guy can be your franchise quarterback, do you risk the pick? And I get it. You have to draft the guy in order to find out. I completely understand that. But the Broncos, I look at Drew Lock and I look at some of the tools that he has, and I would say it's still a risky pick. It's still a risky pick because I guarantee you if Tua was coming out, if Jalen Hurts was coming out, if Justin Herbert and Jake Fromm were all coming out this year in the draft, I believe Drew Lock would go second round. I really, really believe that. So I don't know. I still have a strong belief that John Elway has heavy, heavy interest in the University of Oregon's Justin Herbert. And I think the Broncos, if that is truly the case, when he goes and declares for the NFL draft next year, depending on where the Broncos are at, I would not be surprised to see John Elway move up to take Justin Herbert. He's very, very high on him. He attended his games. There was a lot of buzz there. And I think him declaring to stay at Oregon another year almost threw the Broncos' plans off a little bit. I think it almost accelerated, okay, we need to look at another quarterback option. We'll keep Case Keenum as a backup, but he has to restructure. We're bringing in Joe Flacco. I just don't see if that actually happens. If Case Keenum stays in Denver, you can almost guarantee Denver will not go quarterback this year in the draft unless they go late. Unless they like a guy like Stidham, or unless they like, another guy, Daniel Jones. I don't think Will Greer's going to be, I think Will Greer's going to fall maybe round five, round six, maybe even a round seven type guy. Will Greer's not the guy. Definitely not. Not even close to being that. So I think Denver's biggest need right now is on defense, inside linebacker. Look at how both teams in the Super Bowl, the Rams and the Patriots, their quarterback play wasn't the greatest in the Super Bowl. What was the difference maker? It was inside linebacker because Dante Hightower controlled that entire football game for the Patriots defense. He was phenomenal. He was everywhere. He was a difference maker, a game changer. And guess what? He neutralized a lot of the options that the LA Rams wanted to utilize. And that is what you need at inside linebacker. Devin White provides the Broncos that best chance to help stop that Kansas City D for the next 10 to 15 years. Ryan Cozier says it's Drew Lock and it's not even a difficult choice for me. White seems like a great player, but this team will just be spinning its wheels until we find our quarterback. We can find great production out of inside linebackers in the mid rounds of the draft, but that's extremely unlikely for quarterbacks. I'm still under the impression Denver's not truly sold on quarterback in 2019. That's just my opinion. Alex Harmon says, White, team has $30 million tied up in quarterbacks right now, zero next year, and Elway clearly likes Herbert more than Lock. If you don't believe a guy is a franchise quarterback, do not waste the pick. And this is where I said I really do agree with this point there. April A-Town Denver says, pick White. He is much more of a sure round thing in the first round, and she kind of went over some of the first round quarterbacks from 2011 after some of the big names like Cam Newton, after Andrew Luck, after, you know, we had, let's think about 2013, you had EJ Manuel, the only quarterback in the first round for 2013 for the Bills. In 2014, you had Bortles, Manziel, Bridgewater. That was a rough one. Bridgewater, probably the only one that really formulated into something competitive. Fortunately, had that injury. 2015, you had Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. So maybe quarterback's not it this year. I don't know. I have no idea. We'll see. And then Ronnie K, my man over there at Mile High Sports, says the first question is, do you believe Drew Lock is a franchise quarterback? If you do, you take him. End of story. Even if he waits a year. If the Broncos do believe that, if the Broncos believe that Drew Lock is a franchise quarterback, yeah, absolutely. You have to take him. If you have a strong belief on that, He does have a lot of the things that I think Paxton Lynch didn't. He does have energy. He does have moxie. He's got a better arm. He's got better throwing mechanics. The only question I really have is footwork. And footwork, we see how important that is in the NFL, especially with quarterbacks. Christopher Allen, Locke, lots of good linebackers out there, not as much a quarterback. And we just go on. I think a lot of it, a majority consensus, about 75% of the people that engaged in this said Devin White. The other 25%, Drew Locke. And you know, here's the thing. Do I think that Drew Locke will be there at 10? I think it's possible, but there's been rumblings that he won't be. Is Devin White going to be there at 10? I don't think so. I think Devin White goes top six. If you really want Devin White, if you're the Broncos, you might have to move up. And we talked about it. A possible trade partner could be the San Francisco 49ers. It really depends on what they're looking at. But they could trade back. But, you know, we're going to find out a little bit more as free agency approaches. That's going to answer a lot of the questions and concerns we have with the Broncos and what they decide to do in the NFL draft. If they get a guy like CJ Mosley, which we'll talk about here in segments 2 and 3 coming up, that could change the game for them. You can still go inside linebacker. It may be at a later round. But if CJ Mosley is an option, the Broncos heavily pursue him and get him. There's that option there. And I think people need to talk about Devin Bush as well as an underrated player that I think could go in the top 15. I really strongly believe that. So we'll see about that. But we're going to get into segments 2 and 3 here with my co-host Cameron Parker. We're going to talk about the Broncos and the NFL Daily Rundown, some news from around the NFL. How does it impact the free agency realm of things? Well, we get to that in just a moment. Now, yesterday, there was a wide variety of news impacting the rest of the NFL, and this can impact the shape of free agency, and it could impact what the Broncos' plans are to do. We got some divisional news. We got some in-house news for the Broncos as well. And let's start it off, Cam, with Bradley Roby. A report came out stating that he's looking in the ballpark range of about maybe $10 million per year. Now, the question I ask you, we saw Bradley Roby have the worst year of his career in 2018. We've talked a lot about it. The NFL is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. The prior years, Bradley Roby has been phenomenal for Denver. Do the Broncos look at this and say, okay, based on this 1 year, you know, we're going to let you go? Or do we take a look at what the value he's provided for 4 years, factoring in that the Broncos' defensive scheme under Joe Woods last year was not the best scheme? It was evident. It's been evident that they were not in position to be successful. Factoring that in, do the Broncos let Bradley Roby go elsewhere? And if you do look to get a guy in free agency, there's some options out there. What's to say they don't want the same exact type of money? I don't think you're going to find many cornerbacks that are going to take about $8 million per year. You might find maybe one or two. But I think some of the top free agent cornerbacks in this year's free agency period, I strongly believe that they're going to generate around maybe $9 to maybe $11 million per year. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
It's usually just one of those things that I've been fighting with the whole Bradley Roby dilemma, because we've seen the talent level when he's been on the field. I mean, making a diving interception against the Detroit Lions. I mean, he's a guy that really is exceptionally talented when he puts in the work and when he's maybe not as inconsistent. But he's a type of corner that we've seen over time that is not afraid to show up in the big moments. And is that to say that a change of scenery is maybe going to be best for him? We don't know. And is it to say that he is rightful of the large contract because he's risen in some of those big moments? And because, again, I don't think that Denver Broncos win that Pittsburgh Steelers playoff game if Bradley Roby makes that forced fumble on Toussaint in that playoff game. I do not think the Broncos win that game. So I just think ultimately they have to come to a decision. Is Bradley Roby worth this amount of money? Does he truly fit the type of scheme that they do? And then maybe think about giving him. And my guess is they will offer him a contract. I'm not at liberty to say what it would look like, obviously, but I think that they will offer him a contract. I don't necessarily know what it would be. You know, do they offer him a little bit less than 10? Do they offer him, say, close to 8? Maybe, I don't know. But my guess is just by the overall standard, 8 isn't bad. So like, let's just say they do offer him $8 million a year. That's not bad, just for the sheer stance of where he is talent level wise. And but yeah, who knows where he will see interest from the open market and what the others certainly think of Bradley Roby, because much like we've seen in the free agent market of going through the names of all these players, they're actually quite young. in the free agent market.
Well, and the thing with Bradley Roby, too, I also don't think that the Broncos win that game against the Steelers this past year if he doesn't force that fumble on James Conner. I really don't believe that. And the thing with Bradley Roby, I could see the Broncos maybe going $8 million per year, but also adding into his contract maybe some incentive-based performances. Because go back to a couple years ago, he tied a franchise record of most passes defended in a season with 17. That's a lot. He was tested a lot. 17 pass breakups. That is huge. That was big for the Broncos. He's been a reliable guy. To me, honestly, I believe with Bradley Roby, the pressure for him was being the number two guy behind Chris Harris Jr. And here's the thing where it kind of sucked a little bit. Because Chris Harris had to stay in the slot. He didn't get to go bump to the outside like the Broncos and now Chris Harris had actually hoped for this past season. They didn't have a guy like Aqib Talib as well. So when you have another guy opposite of you, you know, NFL offenses are going to look to exploit the weakest part on the field. And the main thing for Bradley Roby, I go back on film and there are a lot of times he's in great position, but there's also a lot of times where he abandons some of his fundamental techniques by staring in the backfield when you're playing zone defense and letting Robbie Anderson get behind you. That was a big, big mistake for Bradley Roby in 2018. He made a lot of those mistakes. However, there were times where he came up big. And I go back to that road game where the Broncos were taking on the Chargers in L.A. I thought he did a phenomenal job against Tyrell Williams before he got knocked out of the game with a concussion. He did a very good job neutralizing a very good wide receiver type who at the time, I believe, was leading the NFL in yards per reception. I think it was close to 20. And the second guy to that was Cortland Sutton. So Tyrell Williams was a big, big focal point for the Chargers offense, obviously outside of Keenan Allen as well. The Broncos did a lot. Like Keenan Allen had a lot of catches, he had a lot of yards in that game, and obviously in both matchups, but really Bradley Roby did a phenomenal job against Tyrell Williams in that game, and that almost set the tone for the Broncos defensively during that three-game win streak coming off the bye when things looked really hopeless for the team with the tough stretch and the schedule that they had. They came out and they won those three games and they looked good doing it. And there was talks that, okay, the Broncos could go to the playoffs. So Bradley Roby, I just don't see $10 million a year being the thing. I don't know if you're going to get an NFL team unless they really have a desperate need for cornerback. I believe Bradley Roby can still play at a very high level in the National Football League. But like I said, Coach Fangio is going to look at what the NFL market and free agency is going to offer Bradley Roby, and then they will decide what they want to do from there. But why not just make it $7 to $8 million per year and then add in some incentive-based performances? And that can obviously maximize the amount of money he makes. And some other Broncos news too, Cam. You know, Troy Rank had a chance to talk with Shaquille Barrett, who wants to be a starter. He said, you know, I want to be a starter. You know, the number one thing that he wants is when the game is on the line and they had that final drive, he doesn't want to be on the sideline. And I don't blame him. This is the type of year where the Broncos could add some more depth through free agency or the draft to edge rusher behind Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, because here's the thing. You have Jeff Holland, who I think is going to get enough run this year. Can DeMarcus Walker play a role for the Broncos on the defensive line this year? I think it's possible. But really with that, with Jeff Holland, if you let Shane Ray, Shaquille Barrett go, those are two guys that really did contribute to your franchise back in 2015. 2015, 2016, we saw a lot from those guys that made us excited for the future. It was almost as if the Broncos had pass rush university. Those two guys are probably going to be leaving. Look for Shane Ray to possibly end up in Kansas City. And what I mean by that, too, is you got to look at what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. There's going to be a probable time where they release Justin Houston. It was reported yesterday that the Chiefs had released him, but that was disputed, saying that the team has not yet released him, although it could eventually happen. The team is looking to trade Justin Houston somewhere because there is a pretty big contract there. The Chiefs are also looking to trade, possibly, they're open to it, the idea of trading Dee Ford, who was franchise tagged by them. They're open to doing that. So that opens them up as an in-division rival that needs a pass rusher. I still think they need one anyways. Now you get rid of Justin Houston, you have to have another pass rusher. I know Chris Jones is a guy that they had, but getting a guy like Shane Ray or Shaquille Barrett would be big for them. And I think, you know, Shaquille Barrett loves Denver, Cam, but part of me feels as if because the Broncos didn't start him and they drafted Bradley Chubb, I know it's a business, but he might hold some kind of personal fire to that, and we could see either Shane Ray or Shaquille Barrett within a divisional opponent. I still believe that Shaquille Barrett ends up in Cleveland. I think that's the most likely destination, and if not that, I see him ending up with the New York Jets. But that definitely opens things up a little bit, especially inside the division where a team needs that. But let's talk about a couple franchise tag players that could impact the free agency market and what teams decide to do here. The Texans, they placed the franchise tag on Jadeveon Clowney. Will Jadeveon Clowney report? That's going to be a big question. Another guy that will not report until he receives a big contract, DeMarcus Lawrence, pass rusher for the Dallas Cowboys. He came out and he said, "I'm not going to play until I get a contract." So things could heat up in the NFL. How does this impact the free agency market and maybe what teams with the Broncos and some other teams in the division want to do?
I think it's all going to be, honestly, a little bit predicated on what Le'Veon Bell did. Maybe not to that extreme, but players want to get paid. I mean, it's one of the large reasons why you see a lot of players not sign a franchise tag, because they want to get paid. Now, that's not to say that they get paid with a one-year deal. Well, they just want more years. They want more loyalty to, say, either that particular team or elsewhere. I mean, that's just a matter of the business, and that's why you see players hold out. So do we see, in essence, a Le'Veon Bell type situation with guys like Jadeveon Clowney and DeMarcus Lawrence or Dee Ford? I think it would be pretty interesting, and that's why I think that it leaves the option open to, say, them not wanting to tag a player but not closing a door to sign him just to a fresh contract, should we say fresh contract extension. So I think a lot of options are certainly on the table, but that's in essence why you see a lot of players hold out, because it isn't so much that they get the 1 year, let's just say 1 year, $20 million contract. It's just they want a lot of years. I mean, they want a lot of years tied up with a lot of money.
They really do. And we saw that kind of scenario play itself out as to why, you know, guys like Earl Thomas sat out. I mean, the injury he suffered is a definite reason why I think the NFL, once we approach the end of the season, they're going to embrace that period where the NFLPA, they're going to have to negotiate the new collective bargaining agreement. This could impact, obviously, I think, leading to a strikeout. One of the biggest things that will lead to a strikeout is guaranteed money, guaranteed contracts that we're seeing in other sports. That is going to be a big thing to keep an eye on. And we're going to continue talking about the rest of the NFL rundown, how some of these moves that are happening, what could open up for the Broncos and free agency. We're going to talk about that a little bit more coming up here in our final segment of tonight's show. But before we get to that, I got to remind you guys, as you get in your car every morning, use your smart device to play your favorite podcast. All you got to go, get in your car, say, "Hey, Google," or "Hey, Siri, play podcast Locked On Broncos," and you will get access to your favorite podcast on the go, hands-free, and also you'd have to look on your phone while driving to find your favorite episodes of the show. This is a huge thing. Most people are now listening to podcasts in their vehicle, and guess what? You can do it and make it even easier and safer for you if you say, "Hey, Siri, hey, Google, play podcast Locked On Broncos." So here on our final segment of the show, there are a couple other moves that are happening around the NFL that we have to discuss how it impacts things. And one of the big guys, too, in this situation, Cam, I'm keeping an eye on the situation. The New York Giants are very unlikely to tag Landon Collins with the franchise tag. They're looking, he's going to be more likely going to become a free agent. And here's the possible destination. I can see the Broncos have an interest in him. He's a veteran guy that can really play that strong safety position very, very well. And it just so happens to be next week could be the week that the Broncos decide to part ways with Darian Stewart. That's going to leave them with a need at strong safety. The Broncos have loved what they've gotten out of Will Parks. Don't get me wrong, but I think they're going to use him more in a dime linebacker situation. Could he be a starting strong safety? I mean, it's absolutely possible. He's grinding like crazy. He's a good friend of the show. We see him doing all his things, doing a lot of things in the community. He's definitely put on a great year in 2018. He opened a lot of eyes of members in Broncos country. It's been a huge thing to watch him grow. But for the opportunity for Denver to bring in a veteran safety that can really contribute, and think about it this way too. C.J. Mosley, another guy. These two guys, Landon Collins, C.J. Mosley, not being franchise tagged by the Giants and by the Ravens, that opens it up for the Broncos to make a move. Now let's talk about it this way. In 2014, the Broncos made an extensive effort to get better all around the board. They brought in Emmanuel Sanders. They brought in T.J. Ward, they brought in DeMarcus Ware, they brought in Aqib Talib. They spent a lot of money. The Broncos have more cap space right now than they did back in 2014 when they made those four signings in free agency. Expect Denver to make a big splash in this year's free agency. And really, Cam, if the Broncos could lure in Landon Collins or even Adrian Amos and C.J. Mosley, what do you think that does for them in the NFL draft?
Well, it it opens up a lot of areas, I feel, and it puts them into the situation that John Elway has been comfortable enough before, where it puts him with best player available. Now, I don't necessarily know, as we all know, who that best player available will be, because as we all know, in the NFL draft, everything fluctuates. Everything is the ultimate poker game in the NFL draft. But yeah, the tagging of, or the lack thereof, the not tagging of CJ Mosley and Landon Collins is quite fascinating, because it's been widely speculated that the Denver Broncos, at least with CJ Mosley, that they will show heavy, heavy interest in CJ Mosley. And, you know, I think back to the year when they even took Bradley Roby, Cody, and there was a lot of uproar initially with the pick of Roby. And I don't think Broncos country as of right now would probably be a little bit up in arms. I mean, there's probably some that are probably still up in arms that they took Bradley Roby. But in that same draft was CJ Mosley. And there were a lot of fans that were clamoring. I believe I was one of them, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I mean, a lot of fans wanted CJ Mosley. So it would be very interesting if, say, John Elway wanted to go down the road of bringing in CJ Mosley and have him be the anchor for a Vic Fangio defense. But if the opportunity is there to make your football team better, and you have the opportunity to sign two bona fide players for your defense, and it's not a knock on the offense because of the fact that there's, you know, there's just a lot more offensive pieces if they wanted to add through the draft if they really wanted to. It's just they want to win the way that they won in 2015, in my opinion. They want to add a lot of depth in that defense and make it great again. They want to make that defense great again. And if you can do that with the additions of, say, Adrian Amos and Aquan Alexander, or Adrian Amos and a CJ Mosley, or if you want to go out like no other and do Landon Collins and CJ Mosley, boy, I'm sorry, but that defense just has now transformed itself because of what Vic Fangio can do as a coordinator, because of what he can do as a recruiting pitch too. I think that's one of the other underlying areas of Vic Fangio is now this recruiting pitch. And if you're CJ Mosley, you have the opportunity to work with the greatest linebacker coach of all time, with guys like Patrick Willis, you know, and Von Miller, Khalil Mack, and Terrell Suggs, and a bunch of others who've been Pro Bowlers. Yeah, you bet your bottom dollar I want to go over there.
I think that's a good move, and honestly, I strongly feel if the Broncos address inside linebacker and safety or corner in free agency, I believe that gives the Broncos more options in this year's draft. I know we had a lot of talk on Devin White, if he's there at 10, which I highly doubt he will be. I think if the Broncos really want him, they're going to have to trade up. You have that potential dynamic there, but if you can address those positions with the CJ Mosley, then I think you're set in the NFL draft to possibly get Drew Lock, if the Broncos truly believe he is the guy of the future. If not, I expect him to go defense. I think the Broncos, with their first pick in this year's draft, I think they should go defense. But, you know, I'm not the guy making the decisions. I think that that's the unique thing about sports. I look forward to seeing what the Broncos do. And free agency is approaching us next week, and we're going to have you covered with all the action and all the news as NFL free agency officially kicks off on, I believe, Friday the 13th of March, if I'm not mistaken. No, actually, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday the 13th. So next week, next Wednesday, we're officially just about 9 days away from that actually happening. That is going to be a big moment here. We're going to have you covered with all the news. We're going to have instant reaction from any of the moves that the Broncos make, and we're going to have some crossover shows with some of the hosts. Granted, whoever the Broncos select or obtain via free agency will have instant reaction from the other team's local expert here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. But that'll do it for today's episode of the show. I want to thank all listeners for tuning in to the Locked On Broncos podcast every single day. You guys rock. We couldn't do it without you. Appreciate you, Broncos country. Thank you for staying tuned into the discussion, and we'll see you tomorrow for another episode of the show.